Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Man Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bab Metzia Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph at Mishnah Dalet of the fourth para, continuing with our analysis and understanding of the Lav of Ona'a, which we began dealing with formally in the last Mishnah. First statement of the Mishnah is that Ona'a, as we already saw in the previous Sugya, applies both to the seller and to the buyer. Meaning that if somebody buys an item and it's overpriced at a sixth more than its value, and we dealt with Machlokot Rav and Shmuel, how we measure that sixth, what are the different possibilities of measuring the sixth, then that's Ona'a. The same thing if a seller undersells by accident, or in some way he's manipulated into selling below market value, then Ona'a applies there as well. Kishem Shona Lahed Yorkach Ona'a L'Tiger. And this we saw just in the end of the previous sugya. Just like Ona'a applies to a regular person, it applies also to a salesperson, to a vendor. You know, Mer ain't Ona'a l'tiger, which is a very strange statement. Somebody who's a vendor is not bound by Ona'a, or Ona'a doesn't apply to him, and we'll see two opposite directions how to understand Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Now, Mishu tala al yado al Yona'a, ratza omer lo ten li ma'otai, o ten li ma'she on anitani. This we saw earlier in a Braita, but coming from the opposite direction, and that was Rabbi Yudon Asi's opinion, which is that whoever is the victim of the Ona'a has control over the next step in the procedure. If he wants to, he can say, give me back my money, or he can say, give me back the amount of the Ona'a. And we'll try to figure out whether Rabbi Yudon Asi could have indeed been the author of this statement based on what we saw about him in the Braita. Okay, in the Gemara, Minhani Mili. How do we know that Ona'a applies to both Lokeach and Mocher? To Tana Rabbanan, we have a Braita that states, if you sell something, you're not allowed to be me'aneh, meaning you can't oversell. So all I know from that particular phrase, which, by the way, take a look at the first pasuk on the page and you'll see that we are cutting something out. All I know from there is that if the buyer is the victim, then it applies. How do I know if the seller is the victim? If you sell something, you can't be me'aneh, or if you buy something, you can't be me'aneh. So the question is, why does the Torah have to write both of these, both lokeach and mocher, to say that Ona'a applies to both of them? The ikat of Rahman Mocher, if the Torah only told us the one that we are accustomed to thinking about as being the guilty one, that the Mocher can't do it, Mishum Dekim Le Bizvinte, because he knows his items, he knows how much they're worth. But a buyer doesn't know how much they're worth. Maybe he's not bound and warned by the Torah not to be Ma'aneh. Ikat of Rahman Lokeach, and on the other hand, the Lokeach was told not to do Ona'a. Mishum de Kakoni, after all, he acquired the item. Da Amri Inchi, as the famous adage goes, Zvanit Kanit. If you bought it, you now have an acquisition. Av a mocher, da avude kamovid, but a seller who now has given his item up. Da Amri Inchi, Zovin Ovid, if you sell it, you've lost it, because now you have money, and you're going to have to use the money for other things, and the original item that you had is now gone. Maybe the Torah doesn't prohibit you, because after all, in the meantime, you're losing your item anyways. Tzricha, that's why we need both. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Ona'a L'Tiger. Rabbi Yehuda said this statement, which again we said was a very bizarre statement, which is that Ona'a does not apply to a Tiger, to a vendor. Mishum Jehu Tiger Ein Ona'a. If a guy is a Tiger, then Ona'a doesn't apply to him? That's a very strange statement. So we, as I said, there's two opposite ways of understanding this. Rav Nachman says the following in the name of Rav. But Tiger Safsar Shanu. We're talking about a Tiger who's a middleman. In other words, he's not the manufacturer himself, and he's not the retailer, he's a middleman. My Taima, so why do we say Ona'a doesn't apply to him? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say Ona'a doesn't apply to him? May the Yada Zvinte Kamashavya, he knows how much the item is worth. Vachuli Achil Gabe. And he is mochel it towards the guy who's selling it to him. So why did he buy it at this higher price? Because he found somebody to buy it. In other words, he found a seller who's going to sell it high, but it doesn't matter because he found a buyer who will buy it at that plus his tircha. Pashta mi akohadebe. But now, he suddenly trying to change his mind. So he says, no, it doesn't apply. Rav Ashi amar, my in letigir ona, eno betorat ona. So according to Rav, at least the way Rav Nachman presented Rav, he said a tiger really is not bound by onah because, and therefore he can't come back with a claim and saying you oversold because you know the price of things, and you're in the meantime, as soon as you get it, you're selling it to somebody else, so you don't have such a claim. Rav Ashi says the opposite. En la tiger onah doesn't mean, and Rav Yehuda is not responding to the idea that if you buy it from a tiger, etc., that onah doesn't apply. It means ena b'torat onah. He's not bound by the rules of onah at all. Meaning shafid machot michte onah chozer. Meaning if a vendor sells something at under market value, even if it's less than the amount of onah, it can still go back. Why? Because this is his livelihood, and therefore, if a person occasionally sells something and he sells it under market value, good, that's not how he's making his living. He's making his living doing something else. But this guy, it's his livelihood, and for some reason he was misled and he thought that market value was what it was, and turned out it was greater than that. Even if the difference is not the amount of onah, nonetheless, the deal still can go back. That's how Rav Ashi reads it. However, Tanya Kavatei Rav Nachman, we have a bright to the supports of Nachman, because Rav Yehuda Omer, Tiger Ein Lo Onah Mnishu Baki. Rabbi Yehuda, when our Mishnah said Tigere in the Onah, and the Braita explains why, Mnishu Baki is an expert, meaning he knows the prices of these things and he's mocha. Okay, Mishu Ta'alav Yadu'al Yonah, we saw in the Mishnah, whoever is the victim is the one who's in control. Mani Manitin, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Natan v'lo Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Remember the Braita that we had back on the previous Amud. E Rabbi Natan, Matnitin K'tani Ratzah, Uvraita Loktani Ratzah. In the Mishnah, it says that you, who are the victim, have a choice. You can negate the deal, or you can ask for the onah back. And in the Braita, Rabbi Natan explicitly said that in that case, the onah comes back. You can't negate the deal if it's exactly a sixth. E Rabbi Yudanasi, and if it's Rabbi Yudanasi, manitin k'tani lokeh, Braita k'tani mocher. In the Mishnah, it's talking about a buyer who can say, I want my money back, and here, take the item back. In the Braita, it specifically talks about a seller who can say, give me the item back, or give me the onah. So Rabbelazar onah zu eni odeh mishnah. So Rabbelazar turned around and said, you're right, I'm confused about this. I have no idea who the author of our Mishnah is. Rabba Amar liolam Rabbi Natan, he says, you know what, it's really Rabbi Natan. V'tani nami b'raita ratzah. The b'raita that we saw earlier where Rabbi Natan said there's one deal, which is that if it's less than a sixth, you're mochal. If it's more than a sixth, it's negated. And if it's exactly a sixth, you get the onah back. You should add to that, but he has a choice to say either that or negate the deal. Rav Amar Liolam Biyudanasi. He says, no, our Mishnah is Biyudanasi. Ma'adashir Ma'anitin Gamfarish B'Braita. You know what happened? Our Mishnah presents one side of it. The Braita fills in the rest. Meaning, our Braita talks about the Lokeach, and the Lokeach, if he's the victim, has the choice. And the Braita fills in the rest, and if the Mocha is the victim, he has the choice too. Amarashi Dekarnami Diktani Echad Lokeach Echad Mocher M'Farish Le Lokeach. Because if you look on our Mishnah, it says, whether you're a buyer or a seller, it applies to you, and then it talks about a buyer suffering. Shmaminashi or Shari Lamocher Shmaminah, implying that Mocher was left out. In other words, they said whether you're a buyer or a seller, onah applies to you, and then they started explaining how it works for the buyer. What happened to the seller? That's in the Braita, and that fills in the blank, so our author is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Itmar, Omer Lachavir Omanat Shein Lachalai Onah, so a little bit of background to this. There was a famous machloket in the fifth parak of Masachik Tubot between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But what happens if a man gives kiddushin to a woman on condition that the general obligations that a man has towards a woman as his wife don't apply? All right, sorry. Rabbi Meir says, as the general rule, hamatneh mashka tuba Torah, hadavar kayam vatnai batel. The kinyan works and the tnai is ignored. So therefore, the kiddushin are valid, and he still owes sherek sut and onah. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, "B'davar shebamamon tana'o kayam," which means if we read like the Rambam that she'er and sut are essentially financial obligations, that she can forgo. Onah she can't forgo because that's sara de gufa. All right. Here we go. An idmar homer lachaver amanat shein lachalai onah. Rav Amar yesh lo alav onah. Shmuel Amar ein lo alav onah. So if you say to a friend, "I'm going to sell you something," as long as you don't come back to me with a claim of onah. Rav says, guess what? You still have a claim of onah. Shmuel says, no, that's it. You agreed to it, and there's no onah. So, Lema Rav Damar Kar Meir, Shmuel Damar Kar Yehuda. So it sounds like Rav exactly adopts the position of Meir, that even in financial things, if you make a deal that subverts what the Torah's presentation is, the Tanai is batel. The deal is good, the Tanai is batel. And Shmuel says, look, you know, when it comes to financial things, you have the right to be mochel, and your condition works. The Tanya Merle Shah, Em Kudeshli, I'm not sure the Khalashek Sutvona, there is a Kudesh of Tanah batel of Meir. You don't remember the Ashmamon Tanah, Kayam, as I mentioned. So Amal Harav, of course, neither Rav nor Shmuel wants to say that their position only works according to some Tanoim. So Amal Harav, Anadami Filu Rabbi Yehuda, my position, which is that Onah cannot be subject to condition, works even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? And come look at Rabbi Yehuda. Hatam, why did Rabbi Yehuda say that Sherek Sut Ve'Onah will work? Ela Diyadav Kamachla, because she knows that there's such an obligation, and she's Mochalit. Aval Hacha Miyada the Machil. Here, he doesn't know. That's the whole point of the Onah. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what the price is. Shmuel Amar Anadamri Afilu Rab Meir. Shmuel will say, my position even works according to Rab Meir, who normally says that the Tanai is Batel. Here it's Kayim. Ad Kol Rab Meir Hatam El Advadei Ka'akar. Think about it. In that case, when the guy says, Amanat She'en Lachal Sherek Sut Ve'Onah, he's redefined marriage. He says, we have a marriage without Sherek Sut Ve'Onah. And he is certainly abdicated his responsibility for those obligations. Aval Hacha, in our case, Miyemer Dekakar Midi, who says something's going to happen? Maybe there won't be Onah. When he says, I'm not sharing the Chalei Onah, it doesn't mean I'm going to cheat you. He just means, I don't want you to start coming back to me with claims. So therefore, Shmuel would argue that his position is according both Tanai. Amar Rav Anan. So Rav Anan said, L'din Mifishal Aminei Demar Shmuel. Shmuel, the master Shmuel, explained it directly to me as follows. Shmuel did not say it across the board. He said, if a guy comes and says, I'm selling you this, or I'm buying it from you on condition that you don't only claims that I'm onah, and the law of onah, then there is no claim. But on condition that there's no onah in it, hareish bo onah, then there is. You can't change reality. En lachalai means I'm agreeing to forego my claim. But I can't change the reality. This thing is a $5 item and I sold to you for $10. Meitavei, so it's follow this. Ano sevenotein ba'amana, or ba'amuna. If somebody does business ba'amana, Rashi has one take on this, which is that you're selling basically on credit. You're selling stuff and the person's paying you a little bit and they'll pay you later. But the Ramban and other Rishonim take a different direction, which seems to be preferred, which is that you are paying and the person is telling you, listen, this is what my item costs, and this is what the cost of the shipping is, and this is the cost of the handling, and this is the cost of the packing, and this is my profit margin. In other words, he tells you, he gives you a line item presentation of what it is. Or if a person says, on condition you have no claim of onah, ain lo alav onah. This works perfectly according to Shmuel. Right? So how will this work? According to Rav, who supposedly said that all the Tanaim would agree with his position, Hamani, who could be the author of that statement that says, if you say, Amanacha en lachalai o no, it works. So Amar Bai, Mechvar to Rav Damakra, Meir Shmuel Damakra Behuda. We have to go back to what seemed to be our original position, which is that Rav's position, which is that Ha'omer Harei Amanacha en lachalai o no, Yeshto Alavana only works according to Meir. Rabbi Yehuda will say that that's not the case, and Rabbi Yehuda has to be the author of that statement. Ushmuel Damar Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Shmuel's position is only within Rabbi Yehuda, who says, B'davar Shmamon Tanayim Kayam. Now Rava Amar, Rava says you don't have to do that. Lo kasha, kan bistam, kan mifaresh. If you just said Inach Alayona, then Rabbi Yehuda will agree that doesn't work. But on the other hand, if you say it explicitly, then it does work. And let's see, Tanya, Medmar Morim Bistam. When is there Onah? That's if you didn't explicate. What's explicated? We'll say in Faresh, Mocher Shamar Lokech. For instance, a vendor says to the buyer, Chayfet Zer Shani Mocher Lachab Matayim. This thing I'm selling you for 200. Yodea Ani Bo She'en Osher Elamaneh. I know that the market value is 100. Amanat She'en Lachalai Onah. I'm selling it to you so you don't come back to me with a claim of Onah that I gouged you. And the guy says, yes, because he presented all the information. It's kind of like amana. Or a buyer says to a seller, this thing I'm buying you from you for 100, I know that the market value is 200. I don't know why you're selling it cheaper. I'm happy to take it, but I don't want you to come at me with claims of onah afterwards. And he agrees, and the onah. In that case, because he knew, and it was explicit and laid out, and he was mochel. Okay, So in that case, we could say that the author of the Braita that we found to be problematic for the position that Rav claimed that Rav, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with him, were actually okay. We'd say the author of that Braita that says is Rabbi Yehuda in a case where you explicated, just like Noseva Noten Ba'amana, which is when you explicated all the expenses and you laid everything out, and you see that it's really worth way more or way less, depending who's talking, and you accept it anyways. But on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda might agree with Rav in a case where you just said, I'm selling it to you, I don't want any claims of Onah, and you don't give him any information. In that case, even if he says yes, it could be that there is a claim of Onah, because there, like we said in the Gemara, he didn't know what he was getting himself into. Okay, so now, back to selling Bamanah. Let's say you're selling two things, one is inferior to the other. You don't sell them on different scales and say, okay, the Ra, I'm going to sell you Ba'amana, and the Afem, I'm going to sell you at the market value. Allah, Ozeva Zeb Ba'amana, Ozeva Zeb Shaveh. Rashi has a development here where he makes it seem as if selling one this way and that way would almost have the appearance of Rebit. So it's either you sell the whole thing Ba'amana, or you sell it B'Shaveh. He said, this is the market value, or else you give them the line items. V'notein lo schar kataf, schar gamal, schar pundak, schar pundak. And then you pay him the guy who has to schlep it, or the camels, or the warehouse, or whatever it is, that all the items that he paid there. But you don't give him his own labor. Because you already paid him full. How do you know how much that is? Papa, he gives an example. For instance, with these kind of clothes, the ones that we mentioned in the previous podcast, that Balabatim sell, the common custom is that for every 100 zoos, 4 zoos of it is payment for your troubles. In other words, there's a regular ratio or percentage of the sale is the labor costs involved, and we all know what those are, and so that's what you've already paid him. And so therefore you have to pay him for the specific handling and shipping, etc., but the labor costs itself are covered into the costs. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick it up with the next Mishnah as we continue in our investigation of the Lo Taseh of Ona'ah. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.